Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
God is good, isn't He? Man, it's hard to preach after screaming for an hour, man. God is so good. We're going to get right down to business because if you don't know, we have a lot more worship coming for you. We saved the best worship for last. We're going to get into the book of Genesis. Who here loves the book of Genesis? Yeah, you know, you went to vacation Bible school and you had the felt pad and it's day one, day two, day three, let there be light. I love the book of Genesis. Well, this isn't that. This is a little bit further on. We're going to read it and then we'll get going. It's Genesis chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 21. This is the story of Esau and Jacob. Somebody say Esau and Jacob. Okay, this is the story. You've probably heard it, but you're going to get just a little bit of background, and then you're going to hear it. We're going to pick up in verse 21. If you have your Bible, boot it up, turn it on. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. Who's Isaac? This is the son of Abraham, okay? Remember going up the mountain? And the ram came out of the bush and the life was spared. Well, this is that guy. This is Isaac, okay? Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. Why? Because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayers. There's some testimonies in the room tonight that are the same prayer, the same answer. His wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. She was 40 years old. She became pregnant. The babies, though, plural, the babies, jostled each other within her. And she said to the Lord, why is this happening to me? She inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said to her this in verse 23. She said, imagine hearing this, mamas, any future mamas in the room that you can tell, like, don't put it up if you haven't announced yet. You know what I'm saying? You're incredible. My wife gave birth to our son 2 years ago. And women, y'all are better than us. I'm just going to say that. When you see what a woman does, the ladies are clapping. The men are like, get this guy out of here. Anyways, the babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and this is crazy in this day. The older will serve the younger. This was not normal. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in the womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Chewbacca. I mean Esau. I promised the Lord I wouldn't say that. That's messed up. They named him Esau. Verse 26, after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. Imagine this, coming out of the womb. Not without me, you're not. Grabbing Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, which literally meant heel grabber, supplanter, deceiver. They named him after his action, what he did. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, a man's man, a hunter, a man with a beard, hair like a garment. You know, Esau's a manly man, but Jacob was a city boy. Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Verse 28, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. Ladies, us men, we always think with our stomach. Just little thing for you need to know. Isaac had a taste for the wild game, so he loved Esau. This is the food that Esau would bring back. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Verse 29, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country and he was famished. And verse 30, he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that stew. I'm famished. Let me have it. But Jacob, the heel grabber, the supplanter, he said, hold on a second. First, sell me your birthright. How many are thinking this is not a good deal? Red stew? Birthright? Something's wrong here. And Esau replies, verse 32, he says, look, bro, literally, bro, I'm about to die. And Esau said, what good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, no. Jacob valued the birthright. He said, swear to me first. So what happened? Esau swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil soup stew. Lentil stew. This is bean stew. This is not in the top of my list. Lentil stew. He ate and he drank, and then he got up and left. But this line is very important that the author of Genesis put in there. So Esau despised his birthright. To despise is to hate. The definition is to find it repugnant, to find it bad. Esau despised his birthright. Notice it didn't say, so Jacob was wicked, or Jacob was deceitful. No. It highlighted the fact that Esau despised his birthright. What we're going to talk about tonight is the fact that Esau valued his appetite over his birthright. And that, my friends, is a dangerous thing. And what happened? Jacob made him pay the price for it. So that's what we're going to talk about, but I need your help to get started. Would you tell your neighbor, the one whom you love, choose wisely. It's been a while. Let's do it. Married people, be smart. Dating people, make a declaration. Be bold. The one whom you love, choose them right now and say, I'm hungry. No. Say it like it's 8:30 at night. I'm hungry. Yeah. Yeah, you know, in hindsight, as a preacher, this is a big no-no, because now you're just going to be thinking about food and not the message, not the word of God. It's a dangerous title, but that's what we're talking about tonight. We're all hungry. We're all hungry, and it's not just physical hunger that we have. I love food. Any foodies in the house? People that love food? Yeah, man, you know, food isn't just fuel for your body. That's what fitness people say. That's stupid. No. Food is enjoyment. Food is social. Food is delicious. Food is good. It's a bad thing, though, because I love the food and I don't love the gym. So a couple years from now, your pastor's going to be looking a lot different. But I love food. I love to eat. So, you know, I mean, if I was to tell you things that I love to eat, are there any pizza lovers in the house? A good deep dish pizza, maybe a nice thin crust pizza, you know, that real Italian stuff. Really good. What about any chicken wing lovers? You know, you're watching the game. You need some chicken wings. Oh, man. I love chicken wings. Lindsay recently put me on to dry rub chicken wings without the sauce. Don't sleep on those. I'm telling you, they're good. I love a good buffalo wing. But that's some good stuff, too. Who here likes a little bit of jerk chicken? Anybody? Oh, man. If you haven't been to the Holy Land of Jamaica and had the real thing, jerk chicken, you're not living yet. I had some in the Fern Gully out of an oil drum. It's the real stuff. I don't know how clean it was, but man, it was delicious. Italian food, man. Rigatoni bolognese, fettuccine alfredo, spaghetti carbonara. I mean, it's all good stuff. I love it. I love it. I love it. Tacos. Don't get me going on tacos, man. I love me some Mexican food. Korean barbecue. Anybody had that? Yo, you don't even need a plate. You cook it at the table and you put it straight in your mouth. That is how God designed food to be. I'm just saying. And then kimchi is there to burn your taste buds. So if it's bad, you won't even know. I love food. I love it so much. And Tuesdays are kind of hard for me, just like they are for you, because this is at 7:30, but I'm pretty busy before this, getting ready. And I try to say hi to you at the door and do so many other things that I usually don't get to eat dinner. And how many know that we live in a sleepy little suburb of Whitby, where since COVID, everything's closed at 9 o'clock? I mean, I wanna go get food after, but there is literally nothing open. So I'm usually stuck with the good old faithful Golden Arches. You know what I'm talking about? I heard, woo! I heard, ew, nasty. I'm getting a real mixed review and I don't wanna be sued for defamation, so I'm just gonna stop talking. I'm usually stuck with McDonald's. I can't usually get like a nice, good, authentic meal after. And that's hard for me. So I'm hungry right now. And now I'm even thinking about more hunger. But what I want to talk to you tonight is about this topic of hunger. Because just like you're hungry right now for that chicken that I talked about, that dish of pasta, you know, whatever that might be, you're also hungry for other things. And so am I. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. We all hunger. You said it to your neighbor, the one whom you love. I hope you're going to marry her. You said, I'm hungry. Because you are. And I am too. And what I want to tell you tonight is that being hungry is not intrinsically a bad thing. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but hunger is a sign of life. Anyone here that's been really sick? I mean, you really been through some sickness, you know? What's one of the first things to go when you're really sick? You lose your appetite, and you no longer have a will to eat. And a minute ago, you were cheering about all that food, but if you are sick right now, you'd be going, "Nah, man, please stop. I don't want any of that." Hunger and an appetite is actually a sign of life. You know, we think of it always as a terrible thing, but the alternative is a lot worse. If you don't get hungry anymore, then your days are numbered. It's not a good thing. It's not where you want to be. And hunger is so important. I was talking to somebody last week. They were interviewing me, and they were asking about the river. They were asking about you, and they were like, how is this happening? You know, it's Tuesday at 7:30. That's like the worst time possible to get people to come out to something. And you know, it's in Whitby. It's not downtown. And people already go to church on Sunday. Why do they go to this thing on Tuesday? And they were asking me, they're like, what's your strategy? And, you know, what decisions did you make that led to this? I said, guys, I don't have a strategy. Like, there wasn't some brilliant thing that made this happen, not at all. If there's one thing that I could say to describe the river is this, I could say that it is hungry. That there are people that are hungry for the presence of the Lord. There are people that are hungry to worship Him. People that are hungry to get in the Word of God. I said, it's not some bold grand strategy of man. No, it's the hunger of man. It's the hunger of women. It's the hunger of teenagers. It's the hunger of people for the Lord that makes it what it is. And I love seeing it. I don't know if you watch me when we worship. I spend more time looking at you than up here because I get so encouraged when I look back and I see your arms raised. I see you singing. I hear your beautiful voice and your not beautiful voices sometimes. You know what? You're God's child. He loves you singing one way or the other, right? You know what I'm saying? Someone with a bad voice got their hand up. Amen. But it's the thing I love to see most here is the hunger for Jesus, the hunger for the Lord. But honestly, and I'm not judging them, it's not everybody loves that. Some people prefer, you know, that like vanilla kind of church. You know, can I say that? Is that messed up? I don't know. You know, that church, it's like, you know, we just kind of stand there, you know. Okay, great is thy faithfulness most of the time. Yeah, yeah. Morning by morning. Well, some mornings I get mercy. Yeah. You know, and like, some of them, they'll have a problem with the way I preach. They'll say things like, man, that guy's just all about excitement. He runs around the stage and he gets people yelling. I need a good preacher with a podium, you know, that just parks and just reads the word of God for me so I can have a good nap for about 38 minutes and then wake up later and be refreshed for more worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But not too loud. You know, there's some people like that. There's some people I've heard comments of, oh man, I've seen the way they worship their people. Some people are getting down on their knees. It's like they're like bowing to a king or something. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're doing. We're bowing not to any king that's a man, but a king that is God, who sent his son in the flesh to die on the cross for me. You know, it's the thing that I love here the most is to see how hungry you are. When you raise your hands, almost like you're expecting something to come down, like you're ready to catch it, like it's on its way. That, my friends, gets me so encouraged, seeing the way you expect God to move. But not everybody's down with it, and that's fine. We can worship in different styles. We can worship in different ways. I'm not judging anyone for it. Some people don't like how loud we worship, how loud the music is. Why does it have to be that loud? It doesn't have, Jesus, you know, God doesn't have to be that loud for him to hear it. That's true. They got a good point. But you know what? I don't know about you. I got other voices in my head sometimes. I need it loud. I got to drown those other voices out. You know what I'm saying? I got voices that tell me I'm not enough, that I shouldn't be doing it, that I'm not going to make it through tomorrow. So crank that worship up, baby. I need it loud so that I don't hear that. That's why I like it loud. You know, it's interesting. It's you know, that great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I was telling you about before. I can't stand there and sing it like that. Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All thy hand has provided. I can't do it. Because when I sing to the Lord, great is thy faithfulness, you know what I think of? I think of the time that a drunk driver was going 100 miles an hour the opposite way on the highway and hit my car head on while my wife was pregnant. I think of the fact that I never should have been able to meet my baby boy, but this morning I kissed him on the cheek as I left the house. I think of the faithfulness of God in my life, and that gets me hungry and excited for more. So you want to judge me for getting excited when I talk about Jesus? Do it. That's fine. I'm hungry. And you're hungry too. It's why you're here. You got church on Sunday. You got work tomorrow. Most of you have school tomorrow. It's March break. You got party plans tomorrow. You could have been watching a movie tonight. But you're here because you're hungry, and I love that hunger. I wonder, is there any people in the room tonight that are still hungry for God? Even in 2024, that are still hungry to worship Him, still hungry for His presence. I wonder if there's anyone hungry enough in this room to stand up on their feet and worship Him right now, even with the lights on. Yeah, in the middle of a message, to stand up and give Him the praise that He is worthy of. That's what I'm talking about. You know what? Jesus Christ died a public death on a public cross so I can worship Him with the lights on. I don't mind if people see my public worship because He did a public work in my life for me. Sit down, y'all. Behave. I'm going to tell your pastor on Sunday how you act when you're here. We're just getting started. You're hungry. I'm hungry. And we're taught to think that hunger is always a bad thing. But hunger for the right thing can be the best thing in your life. See, hunger is not always a bad thing. The question that you have to ask, though, every single day is, what am I hungry for? And that's point two. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. What are you actually hungry for? And you really got to think about it, my friends, because it's very important. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, for they will be filled. Amen. So blessed, if you've been a Christian for a long time, if you're a new Christian, it's just blessed. That's fine. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. I thought hunger was bad. No. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness, in one word, is God. It's not living a life without sin. It is that for sure. It's not just sanctification. It is that for sure. But where do we get this term right? How do we know what good is? It only comes from the author of good. When people talk about God, He's not good the adjective. He is good the noun. It's just adding an extra O. He's good the noun. He is what is good. So when you are hungry for Him, you are hungry for righteousness. And then guess what? You will be filled. But the world today, in 2024, there's a lot of hungry people out there. And the world today is trying to be filled all the time. And the world is conditioning you every day as you live in society to believe, hey, if you buy this, you'll be filled. Hey, if you agree to this, you'll be filled. Hey, if you act like they act, you'll be filled. You'll feel fulfilled. You'll be filled. If you do this all the time. And the result of that, when we're offered this and we're just still upset and we're not full anymore, is a bunch of hangry people. Anyone here get hangry? This is Ryan McVitie's testimony. I'm a hangry person. Anyone in here get hangry? It's just me. I'm feeling judged right now. You don't get hangry? You know, it's like 3 o'clock. It's been a busy day. You haven't ate anything yet and you just become a jerk. That's me. I'm a hangry person. And it's important that we understand when we're hangry, because hunger, getting back to Esau, hunger will make you do things and accept things that you wouldn't do absent of that hunger. So you got to be aware when you're hungry, and not just that, you got to be aware of what you're hungry for, okay? Because what did Esau do? He gave away his birthright for a bowl of stew. Now, I don't know if you understand what a birthright is, because we don't normally talk about that. Son, today I am bestowing my birthright to you. We don't talk like that anymore. But a birthright in this time was a big deal. See, the firstborn got the bigger blessing. The firstborn became the head of the house. The firstborn got judicial authority over the family. I mean, like full authority. The firstborn always got a double blessing. So you got Esau, and then you got Jacob. Any firstborns in the house? Praise the Lord for that. I'm a firstborn. That's right. I don't know if it's going to work that way in my life, but I'll try. The firstborn got a double blessing. So the firstborn would get two-thirds. Esau would get two-thirds, and then Jacob would only get one-third. Because he gets double. He gets a double blessing. And this is very, very specific scenario where the birthright matters, because guess who would come from the lineage of this birthright? Someone named Jesus Christ. Someone named the Messiah. This is the lineage that is going to save humanity. And it was given away for a bowl of stew. Why? Because he was hungry. I think that should tell you tonight that you need to be careful, my friends, when you're hungry. You need to pay close attention to what you do when you're hungry. And the lesson to be learned from it is pretty simple. Don't make big decisions when you're hungry. And I'm not just talking about food. No, no, no. Don't make big decisions when you're hungry. Don't make big dating decisions when you're hungry. For love and affection, don't make big legal decisions when you're hungry for the wrong reasons. When you're hungry, you got to step back. When you're hungry for approval, when you're hungry for affection, when you're hungry for fame, you got to look, is this the right thing that I should be hungry for? Am I doing this because of my hunger? Am I doing this to honor my birthright? That's the question we got to ask. And shoot, I have learned, I told you before that I'm a hangry person. So I have learned with Lindsay, my beautiful wife of 10 years right here, give it up for her. Being married to a hangry person is hard. I have learned when I'm hangry, babe, I can't talk about anything stressful, I'm hangry. I can't talk about anything important, I'm hangry, because I want to treat you right, and I want to treat you the way a husband should treat you, and right now I'm hangry and I'm going to be rude. So we're just not going to talk about that right now, okay? It's the same thing. In the morning, who are morning people? Put your hands up. Morning people, where are you at? I don't like you, because I'm not a morning person, okay? Before I have my coffee and my food, I'm a hangry jerk, okay? I am barely saved at 8 a.m. without a cup of coffee yet. I'm still saved. My theology is fine, but it's barely. And when I'm hangry, I got to go to Lindsay and I got to say sometimes, I'm sorry, I was hungry. That's my excuse. I'm sorry, I was hungry. Would you look to your other neighbor, the one that you were ignoring, not the one you love, apparently, and would you just say, I'm sorry that I ignored you. I'm sorry. You know, ain't nobody ever say I'm sorry loud. Say, I'm sorry. I'm just hungry. And this preacher keeps going on, and I'm hungry. You cannot say that last part if you want, but the rest of it's good. Have you ever gone grocery store shopping, gone to the grocery store while you're hungry? Anyone ever done that? Yo, in 2024, that'll hurt you. Okay, you know how much bananas cost these days? Sometimes I will go to the grocery store when I'm hungry. And I love to do the grocery shopping. I love doing it. Lindsay does it more than me. But when I do it, I'm like, this is my chance to shine, baby. Let's go. And I'll go to the grocery store when I'm hungry, and I'll buy about three times the amount of stuff I would buy if I wasn't hungry. And then I'll be about three times into debt higher than I am already. Because stuff's expensive in the grocery store now. But I will be going down, you know, aisles that I shouldn't be going down when I'm hungry in the grocery store. And I'll fill the pantry when I get home. And like 4 weeks later, Lindsay will be like, hey, why is there a giant bag of Cheetos still in the pantry? Why is there a 48-pack of noodles that you don't even eat still in the pantry? Why are there 7 cases of double-stuffed Oreos in the pantry? Like, what is going on? And you know what I have to say to her? I'm sorry. I was hungry. I'm sorry for the decisions I made. It's not my fault. I was hungry. I'm not sure, though, that that statement is right, that it's not my fault just because I was hungry. See, before we knew Christ, we were hungry, rightfully so, because we had a God-shaped hole in our heart that we were trying to fill with everything else that this world throws at us, but it just wouldn't stay full. It couldn't sustain us. Happy for a day, depressed for 10. That was our testimony. But when you got your birthright, when Christ died on the cross for you, when he became your bread of life, all of a sudden, we don't have the same excuse. I'm not sure when I get to those pearly gates, I can go to the Lord and just say, I'm sorry, I was hungry. I'm not sure that that's going to work when he's given me his son, when he's given me an inheritance. Y'all, you know, for there to be an inheritance, there has to be a death. You received an inheritance because of a death, not just any death, the death of the prize of heaven, God's son. Parents in the room, how much do you love your kids? You would much rather take the bullet than give your child. This is the biggest sacrifice God could possibly make, and he did it for me and he did it for you, so that we would no longer have to be hungry, so that we could be filled, so that we could have that bread of life. And last week I talked to you about how, you know, you don't always get the plan for your life. In fact, usually God doesn't reveal you the plan to your life, and I told you all the reasons why. You get something better, you get a promise. And what is that promise? It's very simple, it's his presence. You are promised that even though you don't have the map and the plan, you have his presence and he's in the car with you, and that's better. You have his presence, so you don't have to hunger for the things of this world anymore. You have the bread of life in your life with you, present there with you. And God kind of spoke to me about this idea of hungry people, and it wasn't prophetic, it was convicting. Because I used to be very judgmental to rude people. You know that person in the grocery store that just will not move their cart? Like, it'd be so easy to move it 1 inch, but I need to divert my entire plan because you won't move it 1 inch, Karen. That, I shouldn't have said that. You know, there are Karens in the room that are good people, and that's wrong, I'm sorry. But as you can tell, I have a judgmental heart. And God convicted me about that. He said, you know, Ryan, you're quick to call them a jerk, or you're quick to call them cruel. But Ryan, you don't understand. They're actually just hungry. They're hungry people. Ryan, you have me. They don't have me. They have not accepted me as their Lord and Savior. They don't have the bread of life. So you're real quick to judge them before you will give them the gift of the bread of life. And I was like, whoa, Jesus, ouch. Now, that hurts. But this world, honestly, it's filled with hungry people. Society chases after all these damaging things. You know why? It's not just that, yeah, we live in a fallen world, it's true, and there is an evil one and an enemy, but mainly it's because they're hungry. They're longing for value and they're longing for purpose, and they just can't find it. So they're hungry, and when you're hungry, you're hangry. And what's really crazy, though, about this today, what I'm telling you, is that we live in 2024 where we consume more than ever before. You don't believe me? Grab your phone real quick. Grab this thing real quick. You got an app like Instagram? Let me screen it first before I show it to y'all. You got an app like Instagram? You go to your For You page? I just pulled up mine. Oh, what will I be eating today? Hungry. Wow, I wish my house looked like that. Wow, I wish I looked like her. Wow, I wish I had what he had. Wow, look at this. And you know what I'm doing? I'm eating, and I'm consuming. But here's the problem. When I'm done, I don't feel any more full. In fact, I feel more empty. Because it's just highlighting all the voids in my life because I see what they have and I don't. And I go, what? And here's the thing. I'm scrolling through reels. You know how that's spelled? R-E-E-L-S. You know why? Because it's not real. R-E-A-L. You're not even seeing the truth. You're coveting and you're envious. And I am too. And I'm seeing a filtered version of someone's life. I see a happy person who looks like they have it all together, who at 4 a.m. might be dealing with depression. I don't know. I just see a little snippet. But I get more hungry. Man, I got this hunger. You know what the world tells me? Well, you know what? Hey, let's get real. That website at 1 a.m., that'll help that hunger. Go check that out. Until after, you just feel more empty. And you feel convicted because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Oh, man, 7 glasses, that'll do it. Yep, because I'm on number 6, and I still don't feel full. I feel just as sad as I did when I started 6 ago. So number 7, that'll be the one. Maybe it's number 8. Maybe that'll be the one. You hear how quiet it is in here right now? That's good preaching when you can hear a pin drop. This is cheap. This is easy. See, the world will tell you things. Text him. You know he'll reply at 1 a.m. You know what he's after. That ex wasn't really that bad. Pull that contact up again real quick. You know, the world will tell you all these things. Why? Because you're hungry and the world says, try this, try this, try this. What did the devil do in the garden to Eve? Hey, Eve, try this. Surely God didn't say, no, no, if you do it, you'll be like God, right? He's playing on her desire to be more full. But what you're hearing today from Matthew is the only way to feel full, the only way to no longer hunger and thirst is to pursue righteousness, to pursue God, the one bread of life that can actually feed you. Because the things of this world, my friend, they just won't do it. Even the best things this world has to offer. And look, there are some things this world has to offer that are awesome. Anyone ever flew first class or business class before? Don't worry, they won't judge you for being bougie. Just put it up if you ever did, okay? Recently, I got blessed to go on a trip where I flew first class. Y'all, it's good. I mean, it's really good. You sit there and you get on the plane first. It's first class. And they bring you food on a plate in a glass. And they, you know, hello, sir. Hello, ma'am, right? And here's the best part of first class, to just show you how vain I am. You get to sit there and watch every single peasant walk right by you all the way to economy. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Economy, even the word economy just sounds offensive, isn't it? Like, why do they call it economy? Like, it's messed up. Why don't you just call it like regular class? Why does it have to be economy class? And I sit there and y'all, my nose gets so high, just all the way up in the clouds, and I'm acting like I haven't sat in 54G the entirety of my life. You know, right next to the bathroom, the lavatory, the smell the whole time. There are some things in life that are luxuries that for a short season will feel great. We talked about food. There's some food that is great that'll make you feel good. But here's the thing. If I go to McDonald's tonight and I get a Big Mac attack, right, to raise my cholesterol, or if Ruth Chris or the Keg stayed open for me and I had a Wagyu beef filet mignon on a sizzling plate that I just cut right into it, you know, I'd be a lot more happy tonight. But guess what? 24 hours from now, either meal, I'll be hungry again. 24 hours from now, it's not going to make a difference, Wagyu beef or Big Mac, not sure beef. You know? 24 hours, it's not going to matter. Why? Because that's not going to sustain me. It's only going to work for a little while. Well, the world is still the same. The world, the things the world has to offer are the same to you. You're still going to be hungry. Why? Because of this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered, who's he? Jesus Christ. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This world can't do it. Only the word can. Who is the word? The word became flesh and was who? Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can do it for you. Even first class can't do it for you. Even that house that you think you'll be happy when you get it because it costs $2 million and it's barely a condo can't do it. Those things aren't going to do it for you. There's only one thing that can. It's the word of God. Here's my last point. We're going to get back to worship soon. Point 3 is this. Your appetite isn't worth your birthright. I wish someone could have told that to Esau before he came back hungry. Sir, your appetite isn't worth your birthright. Don't give up what you have just because you're longing for something right now. Appetites are temporary. Birthrights last. Appetites change. Appetites shift. Birthrights last generations. And look, the devil, the enemy in your life, there is nothing he would be more happy about than to get you to exchange your birthright, your inheritance, which you received when you accepted Christ on the cross, than for a bowl of soup. I almost called this message Super Savior. What's it going to be? If I preach it again, maybe I will. There is nothing that the enemy would like more than to have you make that trade. to give up your birthright, your inheritance, what the Bible says about you after you accept Christ. You're a royal priesthood. You're set apart. You're the head. You're not the tail. All these great things for soup. And this world will offer you soup every single day. And it'll offer you good soup, and it'll offer you bad soup. And it used to be you had to go out and look for the bad stuff. But now, that bad stuff buzzes in your pocket all the time. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to long for it. It's right there. But it's not going to do it. It's not going to get it done. Here's the thing about what he does, because he's sneaky. He's conniving, the enemy. Here's what he does. He doesn't come after you. He doesn't come after your appetite at 10:30 a.m. at Sunday when you're all prayed up. He comes at your appetite at 2 a.m. when you're weak, when you're tired, when you're famished like Esau was. That's when he comes for you. So it's important to understand when you're hungry. Because if you don't see that you're hungry, you won't be able to keep your defenses up. And your defenses have to be up, because when you're hungry, there are certain aisles in the grocery store that you just shouldn't walk down. When I'm hungry going to the grocery store, I should avoid the chocolate aisle. Because I'll just be throwing it all in there. You know what? I'm hungry. I'm going to fruit. I'm going to veggies. I'm going to protein. I'm getting out. That's the plan that I should have when I'm hungry. It's not what I do, unfortunately, but it is the plan. That's what I should be doing. There are certain aisles in your life that you shouldn't be walking down when you're hungry. See, when you're hungry for affection, when you're hungry to feel full, the aisle of dating might not be for you right now. I know you didn't want to hear that, because we're praying for our man, we're praying for our woman. But if you're thinking that that man or that woman, as great as they may be, will make you feel full, and will fill that gap, that longing that you have, you're going to get to the altar, you're going to say yes, you're going to get back from the honeymoon and go, how come I still don't feel full? Because as great as they are, they can't give it to you. Only he can give it to you. So you got to recognize when you're hungry. You got to check, what are you hungry for? And you got to avoid certain aisles. There are certain things. You know, if you're seeking approval from man before you're seeking approval from God, that's an aisle you got to be real careful walking down. A lot of us would like to say, oh, as a Christian, I don't care about the approval of man. Yes, you do. Let's be real. Yes, you do. You know, the prophet Samuel, what did he say in Jesse's house to David? It's beautiful language, right? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We love quoting it. What's the first part? Man looks at the outward appearance. Man does. Of course we care what people think about us, but here's the problem. When we care more about what people, the creation, thinks about us than God, the creator, that's, my friends, when we have a problem in our life. Yeah. This isn't the kind of preaching we love, I know. We want the worship. But that's the thing. And if we're seeking the approval of man before we're seeking the approval of our Father, it's a problem. I have a beautiful son. I show you a picture of him all the time. I didn't bring one today. He's almost 2 years old. We are taking him, Lindsay and I, to Disney World, to Orlando. We're leaving tomorrow. We're going mainly because he's under two and it's still free and I'm cheap. But we're going, and I pray it's a great time. But you know, this kid is two and he teaches me so much about life. And he teaches me so much about faith. Last week, I don't know if any of y'all hang around. We usually play I Thank God on the screen here after, and some of y'all stay and dance and go crazy, and I love it. It's great. Maverick came out here, and he started dancing and jumping up and down to the music, and I'm like, Lindsay, he's a worship leader. Look at him. He's leading them in worship. This is incredible. We're doing it right, babe. This is great. And I go over to him, and I'm like, Mav, look at them. Look at them. And I want him to see the 100 people that are up here all looking at him so he can get that affirmation. And you know what? He won't look at them. He only looks up at me. And he has this longing face of like, are you happy, Dad, with what I'm doing? Like, is this good? Should I? Is the foot like this? Should I keep doing that? And then this is his move. It's like this. You know, the booty drops. And I'm like, yo, you need Jesus. This is a problem. And it looks that bad when he does it. But when he does it and looks at me, all I can do is smile. And it makes me so happy. And the fact that he doesn't care about all of them, he doesn't care about the crowd. He cares about what the Father thinks of him. Like, man, I wish I was like this kid. I wish I had that kind of faith that could say, yeah, you know what? If a crowd follows me, that's great. If a crowd doesn't follow me, that's great. As long as I'm seeking after righteousness. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 34, we're almost done. Verse 34 of our scripture. It said something. I talked to you about it at the beginning. We gotta finish up on it. It said that Esau despised his birthright. I thought that was kind of harsh. Because wasn't he just hungry? Like, couldn't we grant him some slack? No, he despised his birthright. Why? Why did he despise his birthright? Because all he was focused on was his current condition. And the Bible says the result of that is him despising his birthright. If what you focus on every day is what you don't have yet, and the things that you are not yet, and the blessings that you've prayed for and how they haven't happened yet, if you focus solely on your conditions, my friend, the result will be the same. Birthright? Eternity? God, Creator? I'm dying right now. Just give me the soup. That's what Esau did. And the result is what? He ends up despising his birthright. Why would you despise getting 2/3 of an inheritance? The lineage of the Messiah coming from you. Like, why would you despise this? Because he was only focused on his current circumstances. Look, I'm about to die, so what does all that matter? He wasn't about to die. You can live 40 days without food, without a meal. It's an exaggeration. But his circumstances dictated, my friends, don't let your circumstances make you forget the value of your birthright. I know right now it might be hard. I don't mean to mitigate what you're going through, but don't let your circumstances make you give up on your God and make you give up on what he has promised you. Because you have a promise of eternity with him. And it's the greatest gift that you could ever have. We all hunger and thirst, my friends. It's important, though, that we check what it is we're hungering for, what we're hungry for. What are we thirsty for? Is it for meaning? Is it for purpose? Is it for fulfillment? Is it for value? It's for all of those things. And many of us have been trying to pray away that hunger. God, I pray, just take away my hunger for these things. Just remove it. I want to pose maybe a different prayer to you before we go back to worship. Maybe instead of saying, God, take away the hunger, maybe you could pray, God, redirect my hunger. God, no. The hunger can be good for me. I get it now, God. So God, shift my hunger from that which is bad for me to you which are good for me. That, my friends, you want to hack to life, that's the way to do it. There's some people in this room who have struggled with addictions. I need you to hear me very clearly tonight. God loves addicts. God loves addicts. Why? Number one, because no matter how addicted you are still a child of God. No matter how many times you went back to it, you're still a child of God. It's an unconditional agape love. That's number one. Yeah. Number two is this. You know what addicts know how to do better than anyone? They know how to worship. I don't know that you get it, though. You might say, what are you saying, Pastor? No. You see, what an addict does is they take one thing that is meant to be here and they place it above everything else. And they put that one thing on the throne. And then the result is an addiction. And when that's substance abuse, it will rip your life apart and tear apart your family. When that's alcohol abuse, when that's an addiction to the approval of man, look, they're not all just the big nasty ones. That's a real problem. But you got to understand something. If you've been an addict, it means that you know how to worship. It means that you are hungry. And if you will shift that thing that you are worshiping and replace it, you've been told you got to pray it away, you got to take it away, you got to get rid of that hunger. Here's what you got to do. You got to take that hunger and shift it off of that thing that the world has given you to harm you and shift it to what the Creator has given you to save you. God is trying to show you today that it's not about praying your hunger away. It's not about giving up your hunger. No. It's actually the opposite, that your hunger is a beautiful thing. But he wants you to be hungry for him. Why? Because he knows he can help you. He loves you. You don't know how you're going to pay that bill next month. get hungry for him. That child that just won't do right, that just won't come back, get hungry for God. God can do it. God wants you hungry for him. Would you stand back to your feet? Because we got some time now where we can really apply the word in worship. I'm telling you to be hungry for righteousness, to be hungry for God. Right now, tonight is a time that we can do that. We can be hungry for him, and we cannot care what it looks like or what it sounds like or what some people might think. No, we can just say, Jesus, I'm hungry for you. I was hungry for all the wrong things, but now I'm hungry for you for the right thing. And tonight, my friends, if you'll get hungry for him, this can be an all-you-can-eat buffet. This can be a whole lot better than the Mandarin. It's not a knock on the Mandarin. It's pretty good. But this can be an all-you-can-eat buffet. You know why? Because you're God's child, and he never will say to you, no, 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 that's enough. No, 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 just stay a little more distant. I'm a little sick of you right now. You messed up last week. You can't come into my presence right now. No, you are his child. And if you know anything about the story of the prodigal son, I don't have time to tell it to you yet, but the son that went and spoiled everything, gave away the blessing, spent it on prostitutes, brought shame to his father's name. When he came back over the horizon, close to his father's house, you know what his father did? He opened his arms and he ran to his son. There's someone in the room tonight that has to hear, God is waiting for you like this. He knows what you did. Think about this for a minute. The person that knows the very worst about you loves you the very most. Think about that. He knows every bad thought you've ever had, the things you wanted to do but didn't do. He knows all the things you did. He knows all the times you cursed his name, you ran away from him, and guess how much less he loves you? Not one bit. The person who knows the very worst loves the very most. If that's not a testimony of goodness, I don't know what is. So my friends, you're hungry, and I don't want you to lose that hunger. What I want you to do tonight is feast. Feast on his goodness. Feast on his mercy. Feast on his grace. Don't stand there and say, great is thy faithfulness. No, God, great is your faithfulness. I've seen it in my life. I'll see it in my kids' lives. I'll see it in my husband's life. I'll see it in my girlfriend's life. Feast on him tonight. I know you got plans tomorrow, but you know what? A short little feast can make a big difference because you'll be filled with the right thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Let's declare his holiness, and let's feast on him tonight.